My name is Nadia Amir. I'm a First Nations artist. I like to say that I'm working through contemporary ideas in a traditional way. Sometimes. I just recently moved into Saint-André-d'Argenteuil, where I've made a studio, gallery, and apartment out of an old fire station. Fresh paint on the walls. Incredibly excited about this space that I get to work and play in, and I've opened this year for the Route des Arts. It's my first year in the Route des Arts. I'm number one on the map, so it's easy to find me, and you can come and look at some contemporary art in a place that doesn't really have much contemporary art. My beginnings, I was first in Victoria. I went to Camosun College for 2 years. They have an amazing foundation program, which is kind of like Monday to Friday, really 9 to 5, everything.
There's performance and video, animation.
And from Camosun, I transferred to Emily Carr into my third year. And so I did 2 years at Emily Carr in Vancouver. And then I went straight to Concordia and did my master's. While I was at Concordia, for my thesis, I had conceived of a project called the Indian Act, where I wanted to bead over the Indian Act. Bead with seed beads, replacing all the words with white seed beads, and the rest of the page with red seed beads. And I was really dedicated to kind of beading it, all 56 pages that I had downloaded. And at the time I was working with a curator, Rhonda Meyer, and I guess I was kind of progressing quite slowly because it was a pretty labor-intensive project. And she said, well, Nadia, why don't you invite people into your project and, you know, have people bead with you? Over a period of 2 years, Rhonda and I, you know, we would host beading sessions, and sometimes I was there, sometimes she was there. Many times we were there together. We were invited, you know, to do classes and events, and I would just, you know, I just took this project with me everywhere and pulled it out of a plastic bag. Every time I spoke to somebody, I was like, I'm beading over the act. Come and bead with me. And after 2 years, over 230 people had participated, and all of the pages of the act had been beat it over to some degree. Some pages were finished, some were almost finished, some were, you know, in progress, and decided to leave them like that because the Indian Act is something that is still used, still evolving, still in progress. I was always really curious about how people would come to this project and actually take a page home and devote 50 or 70 hours to beating over it. Some people took 2 pages, 3. Like, what were the? I was curious about what their intention was, or what their story was, or how they could take this and appropriate it for themselves, and then give it back to me as a gift. You know, so the Scar Project was developed in 2005. With the Scar Project, I decided to do something that was really about why they were participating. So the Scar Project, I invite people to sew over their scars, sew a canvas. That illustrates their scar, physical, emotional, or spiritual scar, and then write the story of it. You can do it here in my studio. I'll be here until August 3rd, 6 o'clock, and you can go on my website too, nadiamir.com/scarproject, and see when the next event, the Scar Project event, will take place. Because it's one of those projects where I can take parts of it and, you know, exhibit it, as well as recreate this atmosphere where people can sit down and participate in it. In 1997, I got my status card, and that kind of made me question a lot about, you know, who I was and where my family was from and what my place in this world was, and all, you know, all these questions. And so for me, I do identify, even though I don't know much about it at all. And part of my work, I guess, is what it is to be Indian, or maybe I do know an awful lot about what it is to be Indian, or what it is to be part of a community that way. I don't know. There's always this thing about, like, the urban natives being separated from those who come from the reserve. Not that it must be better, but at least you're connected to something, right? but maybe it's not like that at all. Part of the other work I do is I like to learn how to make things in kind of very traditional ways. So I learned how to make a birch bark canoe, and with that knowledge, you know, created my own work, which was to make a half aluminum, half birch bark canoe. I'm part of a group show at the American Indian Museum in New York, Smithsonian Museum. It's a work called Portrait in Motion, and basically I took that half aluminum, half birch bark canoe called History in Two Parts and put it on the water. Because part of the thing about making the canoe, especially when I was in Kitigan-Zibi, was people were asking, oh yeah, nice boat, but you know, does it float? Because that's where the beauty is. The beauty is in the function of the object working, right? That so, I took the boat on the water, and I thought, I don't know if it's going to float or not. If it sinks, that will be one statement, and if it floats, it will be another. I went with what I had, and we were very lucky. We were camping right outside of Panuk's in his backyard, basically, my friends and I. My son was there. And I said, this is the shot I want. I want to be like Indian in the wilderness, coming to the camera and just like moving away. And we took one take with the beautiful mist on the water, and we got the shot, you know. And the idea was to kind of reference ethnographic film of the voyeur looking the picturesque, and but instead of having that meeting in front of the lens, that the Indian would be kind of like would leave it, you know, wouldn't participate in it. So the video is a very short; it's not even 3 minutes, where it comes from right from the middle of the lake and coming straight to the camera and just moves away. And they did an absolutely beautiful job in the installation in New York. So if you happen to be in New York, it's on until the 21st of September at the George Gustav Hay Center, which is the National Museum of the American Indian, and it's free.